Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel found in Luke 12. Jesus said, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." This is God's word. What do you think of those words? It's almost stunning to hear Jesus say such a thing, and yet these are words from our Lord, so we take them seriously. They're words from God in human flesh, Jesus Christ. Jesus saying, "I have not come to give peace on earth. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, rather division." Division on earth. Is that what you want, Jesus? Mission accomplished. Am I right? It sounds so contrary because we always talk in Christianity about the importance of peace. I mean, didn't even the angels sing on the night that Jesus was born about peace on earth? We sing it nearly every Sunday, no matter what setting of the service we use. Today we sing, "To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth." Jesus himself says in John's gospel, he says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you." That's not after he like rose from the dead. That's in John 14. In the middle of his conversations with his disciples, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you." This is the sort of stuff that causes critics of Christianity and those who doubt the truth of the Bible just kind of rub their hands together. See, Jesus is contradicting himself. The Bible contradicts itself left and right. Who can put any stock in what that silly book says when it's constantly contradicting itself? So is Jesus contradicting himself? When we hear of peace in one place in the Bible and Jesus himself talks of peace, and then on the other hand, Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace? No, I tell you, but division." Is Jesus going against his own words? Of course not. Of course not. Both statements stand true. The angels saying, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, goodwill from God toward those with whom he's pleased." Did Jesus come to bring peace between people here on earth and God up in heaven? You bet he did. That he did. But does Jesus' coming and the word he brings, does that mean peace between all of us? Not by a long shot. That's the effect that Jesus' word has. His word has the effect of dividing. Because his word does something to us. It speaks truth and life. And where sinful people encounter that word, sinful people chafe against it. And they end up divided because they often don't like what that word says. I mean, just look at the state of the church. You don't need a special revelation from God to tell you that the church is divided. I mean, we've got Lutheran Christians and Catholic Christians and Baptist Christians and Methodist Christians and Mennonite Christians and Presbyterian Christians and Pentecostal Christians. And do you want me to keep going? Because I could really do this all day. What about even in the Lutheran church? We have Missouri Synod Lutherans, Wisconsin Synod Lutherans, ELCA Lutherans, NALC Lutherans, LCMC Lutherans, AALC Lutherans, ELS Lutherans. You get the point. We are divided. And keep in mind, the scriptures do call for us to be united. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "I urge you that there be no divisions among you." Division does not belong in the church. Among the body of Christ, we are to be united around the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, That's often the opposite of what we get, isn't it? God's word divides people because it forces them to come in contact with the actual state of themselves. And I want you to think of all the different places that division has happened. I mean, it happens in churches, right? There have been times our church has been divided over the years where we've had disagreements on things. And it's maybe even threatened to fracture us. Families get divided, don't they? It could be something over maybe the sexual lifestyle of a family member or the alcohol use of a family member or the wasting of money by a family member or all sorts of different things that could cause that family to divide. But do you want to know where the most important division happens? And there is an important division that needs to happen. Jesus said he came to bring division, and he has. You know where that division takes place and where it has to take place? Right in your own heart. One of my favorite Bible verses, and if you ask the people in Bible study who come to it, they'll tell you I have like 30 favorite Bible verses, and the list gets bigger. This is one of them. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, we heard our epistle today from Hebrews 11 and 12. Earlier in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, the writer of the Hebrews says, the word of God is living and active. It is a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That's such a cool image of God's word as a double-edged sword. We hear that actually in Revelation chapter 1, where Jesus is described as having the word being like a sword going out from his mouth. Now, the thing about a two-edged sword in the evolution and development of military history, that two-edged sword was a big development. Because you had many ancient battles where men, soldiers, would go into battle with a single-edged blade. And you can imagine the weakness that a single-edged blade has. If you swing that blade to cut with it, you're going to have to pull the blade back in order for it to cut again. But if you have a double-edged sword, sharp on both sides, it will cut no matter which way you swing it. It will always do what a sword is meant to do. And the double-edged sword, of course, came to a point at the end with which it could pierce, it could injure, it could kill. And so here, God's word is described as a sword that pierces our hearts. Cuts into us. Because you know, there's a whole lot of ugliness in our hearts, in my heart, and in your hearts as well. Things that we hold on to, sin of which we won't let go, pride we have built up, jealousy, lust, greed. All the things we try to excuse and justify and say, I have a godly reason for this. You heard in the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah about prophets who refused to preach the counsel of God's word, telling people everything's good. No, all this is good. Keeping people at ease. When what's the word of God meant to do? It's meant to cut you. You know, you guys are all really, really complimentary, and you know, as a sinful person who loves to be complimented, I like when I hear, you know, the pastor, great sermon. But I'm really waiting for someone to say, boy, that sermon really cut me. And to kind of wrestle with it, because that's what God's word is meant to do. We come in here broken, sinful, every one of us, holding on to all sorts of different sins. And that word needs to be like a sword that pierces into our hearts and separates us from our sin. Literally divides us. Cuts open our heart metaphorically to root out all the black, evil, wickedness within us. That is the division that has to take place in each and every one of us. Does God's word divide? Yeah. Why? Because there's sin. And dealing with sin is messy business. But that same word that cuts us open is the same word that delivers healing to wounded hearts. You know, the reformers, the first Lutherans, I don't know if they were right on this. I kind of think they were. They said that the two-edged sword that Scripture talks about that cuts this way and it cuts the other way. They said that it's a reference to God's word of law, which condemns us and shows us our sin, and his word of gospel, which goes the other direction and heals us and makes us new by the blood of Jesus Christ. I think they may have been right on that. Granted, I'm a little biased as a Lutheran myself, but it does make sense. What does God's word do? Pierces us, roots out all the sin that we hold on to. But it also tells us of Jesus' great love for you and me. Was there ever one man who was ever so divided from the rest of the world as Jesus Christ himself? I mean, think about it. He goes to a cross alone. Not a single disciple was nailed up on a cross next to him. He's hung there between two thieves. Before that, he's whipped, he's flogged, he's beaten, he's tortured. All the world in hatred against him. And yet, what does Jesus do with his death? What does he bring us? He brings us peace. So where is peace found? In the whips of the soldiers across the back of our Lord. In the thorns piercing his scalp. In the nails that drive through his hands and his feet to nail him to the timbers of his cross. In the agony he experiences hanging from that cross. In him bowing his head and giving up his spirit and dying alone, separated from God and everyone else, completely divided in that division. What did God bring us? He brought us peace. He is, after all, the Prince of Peace. And he accomplishes peace through the division of himself from everyone else, being cut off, left alone by his Father, to the point he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's divided from his Father at that moment, cut off, left alone, to bring us peace. Peace in his wounds, peace in his death. Peace, we say, that surpasses all understanding. You and I have peace with God because the Son, Jesus Christ, gave his life into death. What about peace with one another? Is there any hope for that? Is there any hope for the families that are torn apart, for the churches that divide, for communities that are broken? Would you say it's fair to say there's a bit of division in our world today? Yeah, there is. It starts with the word of God that pierces our hearts, dear friends in Jesus. It starts with being pierced ourselves, dealing with the sin in every one of our hearts. You know, Martin Luther said in the first of his 95 theses that he nailed on the door of the church in Wittenberg, the very first one, he said, the whole Christian life is a life of repentance. Repentance being that turning away from sin, letting that word pierce your heart, root out what's in there, laying it at the foot of the cross. Because I can tell you one thing that unites all of us in the world, regardless of skin color, regardless of religion, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of income level, regardless of status within our country as documented alien, undocumented, or citizen, no matter who you are, there's not a person on earth that does not have a sinful heart. That reality does not discriminate. Nor does Jesus' love that would root out sin in every heart and show people the cross where true peace has been accomplished. My dear friends in Jesus Christ, there is peace. Peace for you today. You have peace with God. And you have the message of peace that's for all. For so many people who have not heard it. For so many people who are rebelling against it. And you know what? That message of peace, it does divide. But thanks be to God that Jesus remains a loving Prince of Peace. Who, though he has brought a word that divides Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. That's what he says in our gospel. Even though that word divides, it's the same word that heals. It's the same word that says Jesus has died for you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.